This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You know what's on fire? A game seven, and we'll get at least one in the conference finals. It's only going to be one in hockey because the West is already won by the Las Vegas Golden Knights, and they are awaiting... They're awaiting the winner of Capitals and Lightning. Bolts and Caps going to a Game 7 coming up on Wednesday night. That's going to be tense. Wednesday night. Thank you, John Walton. I mean, my voice would have cracked too. Not just that, but I probably would have been so emotional I would have forgot to say all the pertinent information. Yeah, I was tense watching the third period of game number 6. Just the way that Braden Holtby was stonewalling the Bolts and the Lightning, obviously have a lot of different guys who can hurt you. They have so much scoring potential, and there were some really aggressive pushes by the Lightning in that beginning of the third period when it was still a 1-0 lead for the Capitals. And so I was nervous, and all I could think about was, oh my gosh, the pressure on Braden Holtby. But he comes through with his first shutout of the season. Not the first shutout of the playoffs, but the first shutout of the season.
Nerd alert.
And so then to hear the shift in the focus for both the Capitals and the Bolts in their individual locker rooms, thinking about game 7, right? So, okay, you survive elimination. And now the Capitals and the Lightning are back on equal footing. They're back on equal ground because it's a game 7 that's a winner take all, right? I mean, the Lightning, according to John Cooper, they took their foot off the gas. They took it a little easy. They didn't have the same desperation as the Capitals did. But that makes sense. That's human nature. Now, you would think that in professional sports, when you understand that the team you're facing is on the brink, is on the verge of playing their final game, then yes, you have to match their desperation. Because more than likely, unless they're the Toronto Raptors, they are, in fact, going to be playing with desperation. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's psychological that a team that's facing death or a human being that's facing death is going to fight and scratch and claw. I mean, heaven's a cornered animal that's you know, facing death or facing a fight will do the same thing. It's instinct. And yet the opponent, knowing that, very often doesn't match that intensity. It's just an interesting factor in sports, in life too, but in sports that can't be measured by analytics, can't be measured by some algorithm or mathematical formula, which is why you can play the odds, you can gamble, you can bet, you can make predictions. But in the end, it's about human nature and who rises to the occasion and who does play with that extra aggressiveness and the extra motivation and who brings that just little extra intensity and energy. And when we get to the playoffs, you see those ebbs and flows because it's really difficult to keep that up over the course of, say, a couple of months if these teams end up in the championship series. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio and CBSSportsRadio.com. Also SiriusXM Channel 206. And we've got both our Twitter and Facebook pages working overtime on this overnight. A couple of things going on. Our Man Crush Monday poll is a runaway for J.J. Watt, though it is still live. There's a few more minutes if you wanted to cast your vote or to see who the other candidates were and to see the margins for J.J. But we've also got a poll that's live, as LeBron says, regarding the Celtics and Cavaliers series. And this is something I'd love to hear from you about, not just in the poll, but whether it be tweets or whether it be phone calls. If you and I are lucky enough to get a game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals, if it's Celtics and Cavaliers who are now in a best of 3, if we do get 3 more games in this series and they go to a game 7, Do you ride or die with LeBron James, one of the best players in the history of the game, in a closeout affair? Or do you ride or die with the Boston Celtics, who, at least to date, are still perfect at home in the postseason? Now, they will host game 5. And so all of this can kind of go out the window, but they haven't yet lost at home in the playoffs. So that number 2 seed has been critical for them. They're obviously the highest seed still remaining, but they have been the highest seed in each of their playoff series because they didn't face the Raptors. And so here they are with the ability to host a game 7 if it goes that far. So who do you take? Who do you have more confidence in? LeBron, with his back against the wall in a place in which he's comfortable, against a team with which he's had great success.
Be careful what you ask for.
A 7th career 40-point game against the Celtics. 7 times in his career has he scored at least 40 points against the Green. So do you go with that version of LeBron for a game 7, or do you go for the Celtics at home where they've been so comfortable and where those young guys really thrive on the energy inside the garden? So that's on our show Twitter as well as my Twitter, A-Law Radio, also up on our Facebook page too. So I'll have to check out your answers. Keeping in mind that even though we're at a 2-2 series now, the Cavaliers have already had to come back from 0-2, right? So they were in a hole. And they've done a whole lot of digging to get to this point. You know, you hear this a lot. When you fall behind, whether it be football, whether it be hockey, whether it be baseball, basketball, whatever the sport is, whether it's an individual sport like a tennis or a golf, when you fall behind, you put yourself at a disadvantage. You have a major deficit that you have to erase. You expend so much energy just climbing out of the hole and getting back to even, that often you've had to use up way more energy than your opponent to get back to even, and you don't have enough to quite get you over the hump. And so that's where this stat becomes relevant. Only 20 teams out of 300 have ever rallied to win an NBA playoff series after trailing 0-2, right? So that's why, because it takes you so much effort and energy, and you give it everything you've got just to even the series, and then, whew. And there aren't 3 days off now in between games. They will alternate days in the East and the West. They'll only get a day off in between as long as these series continue. Though the NBA Finals can't start until May 31st. Sorry, Coach Belichick. So we've got that poll up on Twitter and also on Facebook. And then our Twitter Tuesday question, which I'm really enjoying a lot of your answers. And I like the hashtag vacation vibes as well. But since we are almost to your unofficial start to the summer with Memorial Day weekend, what is the best vacation destination that you have ever visited? Again, A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page, look for the palm tree. Although I posted pictures of palm trees and beach to start the work week because I was sharing some of my own vacation pics with you. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with some great news. Oh, some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. It was quick and it was great, and it just got combined to great. You can switch to Geico, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. You just head to geico.com. Antoine is listening in Detroit. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hello, how you doing, Amy?
Good.
I think I'm going to have to side with the Cavaliers if it does go to a game 7, not based on, you know, LeBron playing his superhuman abilities these last few games, but just with the experience and playoff experience that the Cavaliers as a whole have with the different players they have based on the guys on the Celtics. You got a lot of young guys, but you got a lot of heart. So they're playing off heart and just going out there and getting it done. I will say this, the game tonight, there were a lot of missed calls on the referees, and then they got a lot of guys were in foul trouble to where this game could have been a close game if it would have been played a little bit more cleaner. So I'm not going to say that, you know, I'm counting the Celtics all the way out. The thing the Celtics have to do that they haven't done the whole playoffs is they have to win on the road. And that gives you some sort of a dominance. If you look at the Western Conference series, the reason why people count out Houston right now is because Golden State did exactly what they're supposed to do. They went in there and stole one on the road, which gives you a little bit more edge, especially when you're playing a team where, you know, Houston doesn't have as much experience. But on the base of Cleveland versus Boston, if they would have got one game in Cleveland, you would have gave them a little bit more momentum. But if you got LeBron in the game seven and you see what he did in Indiana last series, no, you really can't.
Okay, Indiana and Boston are not the same. No, Boston's a more talented team. But I just need to ask you a question, though. You said if Boston had played the game cleaner, they would have had a better opportunity, except there were almost exactly the same number of free throws for each team. So I'm not sure what you mean by that.
What I mean by cleaner is where certain little meticulous fouls or where guys, you could see guys were playing – letting their attitudes affect their play, especially Marcus Smart. There was a couple plays where he had got some missed calls where you could see him come back down. He played a little bit lazily on the other end, and they got an easy bucket. Like, when you're playing against an experienced team, and a LeBron James-led team, you can't take plays off like that because that turns into a 10-12-point run, and the next thing you know, you're playing out a hole, you know. So I'm going to take LeBron in the seven-game series, but I will say this. If Boston can lock down on the defensive end and make those other guys continue to make shots and have to really contest LeBron, they have to really focus in on just putting taking one thing out of his game. If they can just take away his assist and just force him to be a scorer, they have a possibility of winning the game. But when he can involve everybody around him and everybody gets to going, it's pretty hard to stop whoever plays.
There are two different things here. He can involve people, but they cannot hit their shots. I mean, I understand what you're saying. He's averaging a bunch of assists. In fact, I think it's seven per game right now in this series. But it's not always that J.R. Smith hits his shots. Kyle Korver, you know, he great first half, but didn't hit a shot in the second half. Kevin Love, we've seen him go stretches this playoffs where he hasn't been able to hit shots. So yeah, LeBron can be distributing. It doesn't mean the guys around him are going to hit shots. But I will agree with you that he gets everybody involved. Antoine, thank you so much. Yeah, it's a lot to think about the disparity in experience between these two teams. One thing that jumped out at me about the Celtics, now they've had a lot of experience over the last several weeks, and certainly they've taken advantage of this core group. The problem, part of the issue with the Celtics, without Shane Larkin, and right now he's hurt, that takes one guy away from your depth, your rotation off the bench. Marcus Smart, while he did play 31 minutes, he actually played more minutes than some of the starters. He played 31 minutes off the bench. He didn't score until late in the game, but he was doing other things. I mean, he had five assists. He had five rebounds. He had a couple of steals. He had a block. And that's his game. I mean, sometimes he scores, sometimes he doesn't, but he always hustles. He always plays hard, nose deep. What jumps out at me, though, is outside of Marcus Smart, there are only two other guys that came off the bench for Boston, and nobody else played a ton of minutes. And so your bench only gave you 19 points, a really short bench for Brad Stevens and the Celtics, as opposed to what the Cavaliers were able to do. Now, they didn't get a ton of scoring off their bench outside of Kyle Korver. However, they've got three different guys, who gave them at least 10 minutes and were active. Like Larry Nance came in and hit five of his seven free throws. He also had several rebounds and a couple of block shots. So his defense was critical, too. The Celtics had a really short bench in this particular game. We'll see the strategies and we'll see the chess moves and the reaction with Ty Lue and Brad Stevens to what the other coach is doing and what they're drawing up. All right, so lots going on with our Twitter Tuesday morning, your best vacation destination of all time. You've got your Celtics Cavaliers Game 7 hypothetical, which is cool. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The 0-1. Swung on and driven in the air to deep left center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It is Glaber Day in Arlington, Texas. Pitch is hit in the air to deep center. Back goes to Shields. He's on the track. He's at the wall. She's gone. dead center field. That's Gleyber Torres' second homer. The first time he's hit two homers in one game as a Yankee rookie.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Gleyber Torres with a couple of home runs. On Monday night for the New York Yankees, John Sterling with the call, and the Yanks double up the Rangers. It was a close game for a while, but they end up winning 10-5 against Bartolo Colon, their old friend. Bartolo Colon. You're talking about the two opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to the generations in baseball. Gleyber versus Bartolo. The reason I bring it up is because the Yankees had a good portion of their games canceled last week. There was just a torrential downpour. It was like a storm that wouldn't leave many parts of the Northeast, and that included the New York City area. Thankfully, it was very sunny in South Carolina where I was on vacation. You know, it was really crazy. My friends in Florida said it rained all week. She was actually sending me sympathy texts. I'm so sorry that your vacation's going to be rained out. And then from D.C. on north on the eastern seaboard, it was crazy rain to the point where there was even severe weather and tornadoes touching down around New York. And yet in South Carolina, it was sunny all week. I don't know why. There was an umbrella over Fripp Island. Anyway, not to rub it in. Okay, so rain's good, right? Rain makes the grass grow and the flowers grow and the vegetables grow. So the Yankees had a good portion of last week rained out. Do you guys, I don't know if you off the top of your head know how many games they played last week. I wasn't keeping track. I just know a lot of their games were rained out.
They played 6 innings over a course of a 5-day span.
Okay, so now the point is, now the Red Sox have more games on their schedule. So the Red Sox have already played 47 games, where the Yankees, because of some of the different postponements, have played 44. So they're not exactly at the same place in their schedule. However, with the Yankees winning last night, they have the nose in front atop the AL East. And these two teams, so Red Sox have one more win, but the Yankees have the better winning percentage at this point. These two teams, now, all hypothetical, okay? It's Major League Baseball season, 162 games in totality and totos, which means that anything can and will happen. But at least where they are right now, you're talking about two teams that are on pace for close to 100 wins, right? If not more, in the same division. Do you know what that means? Let this sink in. A team with potentially 100 wins could be in the wild card game, right? Because if they're in the same division. Now, this has happened before. I remember not that long ago, if you want to look up the year for me, Chris, I think it was maybe 3 years ago, you had three teams from the NL Central that were all in the playoffs, right? So you had Cardinals, Cubs. I think the Cubs ended up winning the division. It was Cardinals and it was Pirates that were in the wild card game. Last year, you had three teams from the NL West end up in the playoffs, which meant you had Arizona and... Shoot, who Arizona and Colorado that were in the, no, Dodgers won the division, but it was Arizona and was it Colorado that were in the, wild card game? Gosh, it's amazing how your memories get all blurry. Anyway, so it's happened in the past that you've had three teams from one division make it into the playoffs where you end up having, you know, these two teams from the same division who are so familiar with one another playing the wild card game. But a little bit different with the AL East, where you could be talking about maybe, because Houston Astros have 30 wins themselves. I don't know if these will be the best teams in the AL when it's all said and done. But the idea that you could have this race atop the AL East continue with this intensity and to be this close, and if they're pushing each other and they're getting better, let's just say for the sake of argument, they're between 95 and 100 wins. And one of them ends up in a wild card game, which of course means you want to use your best pitcher, right? And that means your best pitcher is then burned for the start of the division series. So just, yeah, it's fascinating when it happens inside a division. I love the rivalries. A lot of them are geographical. A lot of them are longstanding rivalries. But when you look at the AL East with these two teams for the field, and you compare that with the AL Central where every team is below 500, that's when people start to call for changes to the playoffs. But it's I don't want any changes. I like the divisions. I like the conference matchups. It's just the luck of the draw. Every now and then, this is how it plays out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. Paul is listening in. What part of Massachusetts, Paul?
I'm in Somerville.
All right. Welcome to the show.
How you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks.
You had a good vacation, I guess, huh?
I did. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Well, finally, our weather is a little bit better this week. Anyways, I think this, while you were talking about the Celtics earlier and the Cavs, I like the fact that we have the home court. I think probably the first team that wins a road game is going to win this series, right? Cavs did well at their, in their place, and hopefully the Celtics can turn it back around. Earlier, while you were on vacation, the talk was that the Cavs all done. You know, you can't count out LeBron. He's probably the best player right now, obviously, of this era. And I'd love to see him just stay in Cleveland. If he beats us, I'll root for him because I'm an East Coast guy, and I'm not going to root for the Warriors. And you were talking about the Sox and the Yanks. As great as we had a start over here for the Red Sox, we're not even in first place, like you're talking about. Both these teams could end up winning 100 games. I mean, I love that rivalry. Like you said, the rivalries are great. We have a great rivalry with, like, Philadelphia as well in basketball. So I'd like to see that. You know, they have a great young team as well. And I think the Celtics, we just have a bunch of young guys. Imagine if we had Kyrie right now.
Well, yeah, but how much good does it do you to imagine that? I mean, it's not, it obviously doesn't help, but it's like Philadelphia Eagles fans before they got to the Super Bowl and won it. Imagine if we had Carson Wentz. Well, imagining only makes it harder, actually. It doesn't make it any easier.
Yeah. No, I know. These guys are playing really, I think a lot of guys are playing above their, you know, they're just giving everything they can give, you know. Obviously, we got our asses kicked twice, and what are you going to do? It's the way the sports go, but it's a great series. I hope it does go seven games. It would be awesome.
I did appreciate the fact that the fourth quarter actually mattered. It was the first of the conference finals games so far in which I felt like the fourth quarter was critical. I guess the opener in the West, the fourth was still kind of hanging in the balance. But, yeah, it's weird, this phenomenon where we've had now seven games and only one of them has been decided by single digits. It's odd.
It's true. And, like, Saturday's game it wasn't even a game. I mean, I kept waiting for the run, and it just never happened. You know, it's like that was the worst game I ever watched in my life. Unfortunately, I don't get to watch too many because I work nights like you do.
And DVR.
Well, true. I'm an old guy, so I don't do all that stuff, you know?
Oh, it's too bad. You miss a lot of stuff that way. I would never be able to keep up with all my favorite TV shows.
I'm so old. I'm a dinosaur. Listen to the radio.
Oh, only dinosaurs listen to the radio? I didn't realize that. I'm a radio junkie,
so
I love it.
Everybody's stream. Well, let's see. All the guys that I work with, they're watching stuff on their phone while I'm listening to you.
But, well, if it makes you feel any better, I'm a radio junkie, so I don't watch anything on my phone because it makes my eyes hurt, and I love listening to play-by-play on the radio.
Well, I do as well, and I love to hear a DJ as well, and I don't know, you know, talk radio host. Your show is actually the best. I don't listen to the guys on this.
Don't do it. Okay, don't do it. Be nice. You can be positive without ripping other people down.
No, I know, but I like to listen to you because of how you present your show and all the stuff that you remember. How do you remember who played in those games like last year?
Oh,
like,
my God.
I can't remember.
Most of the times I forget, actually, so I'm glad that you're not bringing those times up.
No, I do too, but I think it's dementia for me.
Oh, no, it's just a lot of information, that's all. We live in an information age for sure.
No, I hear you.
All right, sir.
I'm trying to move up into the age as well.
I like it, Paul.
Well, you have
good
a great show.
Thank you.
I love your show. Thank you very much for taking my call.
All right, sir. We're happy to keep you company overnight. I did actually remember something correctly, though. I'm so proud. It was three seasons ago, 2015, the NL Central. This was prior to the Cubs winning the World Series, but they won the division in 15. Let me see if I can get these other details right. You can nod at me. Cubs won the division. Cards and Pirates played in the wild card. Cards won the wild card, faced the Cubs, because remember the excitement over Cardinals and Cubs, one of baseball's great rivalries in the division series. That was also when the Cubs went to the... They went to, don't tell me, they went to the NLCS against the Mets, right? And the Mets ended up going to the World Series? Yes! Every now and then, you give my brain a little time, it'll pull out these obscure details. And also, this is something fun that Chris just looked up. He could read my mind. He knew exactly where I was going with this. Gleyber Torres was 7 months old when Bartolo Colon made his Major League Baseball debut back in 1997. That is fantastic. Opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to the baseball generations. All right, Twitter Tuesday question. Best vacation destination that you have ever visited? It's on Twitter. It's on Facebook. Also, we're asking you, if it goes to a Game 7, are you more comfortable with LeBron in a closeout or the Celtics, who haven't lost in the playoffs at home? All kinds of stuff to talk about this week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll get right back to your calls.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We first got to really understand the heart of J.J. Watt on a national scale, global scale even, when he organized what turned out to be a phenomenal campaign to raise millions and millions and millions of dollars through an internet site for victims of Hurricane Harvey. And you hear him there, not talking about the money as much as he remains humble and speaks about the fact that it was just someone who needed to take the lead, take charge. And there are all these people who want to help. It's just a matter of finding some way that they can channel their money and channel their efforts. And then he speaks something that I know is so important. When I was in Houston for 2 weeks around Christmas time, there were many people who were still displaced from their homes, many people who were still sharing their stories and their struggles to recover from the hurricane. And that's kind of what JJ's saying, is this is not a one-night thing. People aren't displaced from 50-something inches of water, and then the next day they go home. No, they've lost their homes. In many cases, they've lost everything. And so I love the heart that we saw from J.J. Watt. It's one reason why he was a popular choice for Sportsman of the Year in 2017. But now here he is doing it again. And you all have recognized that because you, in a landslide vote on Twitter and Facebook, called him your choice for Man Crush Monday. And in fact, on both Twitter and Facebook, it was more than half of the votes going for J.J. Watt. Not even in season, but that's the power of his platform and also the compassionate way and the generous heart that he shares with people around him who are in need. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line that you can reach us here inside our CBS Sports Radio studios. And I'll get back to some of your vacation destination tweets here in a sec. But we're asking you about a hypothetical Game 7. I hope. I always raise my hands for Game 7. We got one between the Bolts and the Capitals coming up on Wednesday. Could we then have a Game 7 in the Eastern Conference in basketball between the Celtics and the Cavaliers? Now, the way the schedule shapes out right now, they'll have Game 5 in Boston on Wednesday. We know for sure there will be a Game 6 in Cleveland on Friday. Does that mean Sunday night, right before we come back from the weekend here on After Hours, that we will end up with a Game 7 in Boston? Right now it's listed if necessary. But I don't know. I think it's kind of necessary. Would you take the Celtics, who are perfect at home in the playoffs to this point? And actually, this series could be following the pattern of the Milwaukee Bucks series, remember? That went to a Game 7 because each team in that series won its home game, so protected its home court, and it came down to the home court advantage. And so maybe Celtics and Cavaliers will end up like that. Maybe not. But are you more comfortable, more confident in LeBron in a closeout, or are you comfortable and confident with the Celtics and that Garden crowd and the way the young guys have responded in this postseason so far to being in the friendly confines? All right, let's talk to London, who's in England. I like it. Yeah. London's in England. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks for having me on. It's so good to hear your voice. I listen to you all the time, no matter where I am. I've been in Europe for probably about 5 months now, and I listen to you all the time.
What? That's awesome.
I'm your biggest fan, just so you know.
Thank you.
First off, I have to say, best vacation destination for my spring break. We had a great spring break this year. It has to be a tie between Santorini and Florence in Italy.
What was the first one?
Santorini.
Where's that?
In Greece.
Oh, Greece.
An island
okay.
in Greece.
Got it.
So if you get a chance to make it to either one of those places, really beautiful. Mm-hmm. What I want to talk about was I think if it goes to a game seven, I think it would be, unfortunately, the Cavaliers. I'm from Sacramento. I don't really have a horse in the race. I think it would end up being the Cavaliers who would end up winning the whole thing. Although I would really love it if the Celtics
the whole thing or the Eastern Conference?
The whole series.
Oh, got it.
The whole
it. Okay.
Eastern Conference series. Mm-hmm. I would just love to see someone else come out of the East to face what is probably going to end up being the Warriors, but we'll see. And then also, I have a question for you, and then I'll get off the air. I listen to your show all the time. You do a Man Crush Monday. Do you ever do a Woman Crush Wednesday? And would you do everything about implementing that into your show? There's so many really big female names in sports, especially now that, you know, we're recognizing females more and more in sports. Would you ever think about doing a Woman Crush Wednesday? And who would you think would be on that list?
Well,
I'll listen to the show. You have a great time.
Okay. Thanks, London. I appreciate you calling in from England and the fact that you make it a regular habit to listen, regardless of where you are across the globe, across the pond. I am intrigued by that idea, but here's a couple of reasons why I haven't done it, at least not on a regular basis. We have done a hashtag WCW in the past. It's just not something we do regularly because, and I know the WNBA just tipped off, the audience is 95% male. Okay, so I'm not sure how much traffic a WCW poll would get or if the votes would be informed votes. So my concern, and this happens sometimes when it comes to female athletes and, let's be honest, females in media, it becomes more about what you look like and how attractive you are than it becomes about what you know and how you perform. Now, I'm hoping that the deeper that we get and the more that women's sports and women sports broadcasters become prominent and get more attention, that won't always be the case. But right now, my fear is that a poll like that or a question like that would get twisted where it becomes about what they look like. And I will speak from personal experience, no matter what day it is, no matter what the topic, I still, even if it's completely irrelevant, which it is, I still get comments about my appearance and what I wear and my hair and everything else every single day, even though it's radio and those things don't matter. So that's a little bit of my concern. Also, other than the WNBA, I mean, you have women's golf going on right now. You have the French Open getting ready to start. But what other women's sports are there where we could be taking a WCW poll on a weekly basis? So that's another thing that you worry about. And again, I just don't know how informed the majority of my audience is about women's sports, right? We don't talk about a lot of women's sports, at least not the WNBA. Every now and then we'll do some women's golf, some women's tennis. Obviously, Serena Williams has been a huge story over the last 15 years in women's golf. I mean, every now and then we'll talk about it, but it's not hugely popular. I just did a whole thing with the U.S. Women's Open in Chicago. That was the special panel that I hosted with the U.S. Women's Senior Open in Chicago. And so, yeah, we'll talk women's college basketball now and then. It's just not as, it would be harder. It's not as prominent. And so it would be harder to put together a weekly WCW poll. I hope that answers your question. Maybe took a little bit too long, but I want you to understand where my heart is. I do sometimes get criticized by other women for not talking about more women's sports. I know my audience, though, and I know I know what people tune in for. And so my job is to provide entertaining radio. Now, we talk about storylines as they come up. We certainly did a ton with the U.S. women's hockey team. We talked about the Women's World Cup and the teams and the superstars, the athletes that become household names or that are, you know, accomplish amazing feats. But we also spent a ton of time on the USA gymnastics story and the Larry Nassar situation when that was breaking. And so I do bring stories up and I do introduce you to names when I feel passionately about them and when I believe that it's something that's worth hearing. And again, I do get criticized sometimes by their females for not talking more women's sports, but I also rely on my experience and my knowledge of the audience to guide me in those situations. Let's quick talk to Mike, who's in Texas. Mike, welcome. You got about 60 seconds. Go.
Hey, how you doing, Amy? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to say, you know what, in game two, Cleveland came out fighting. I like the way they came out. They led all the way to the second half. We didn't see that from the Celtics yesterday, so, you know, it gives me a little hope, gives us action. What do you think about it? I'll take your answer off.
What do I think about what? Game five?
About, like, you know, just period of how they didn't really start up. The Celtics didn't really start up yesterday.
Yeah, they didn't. I would say this, Mike. One of the things that stands out is that they missed a lot of opportunities. So anytime you have multiple missed dunks in a half, those are the things that are going to cause you some nightmares. So I think the Celtics were in it. They fought back. They clawed back. Their defense was better in the fourth quarter. And they continued to work hard at it. They just missed so many easy shots, and they missed so many wide-open shots. And Marcus Smart doesn't score until late in the fourth quarter. So missed opportunities for me was the theme for the Celtics in game four. They got behind early. They managed to make it competitive in the end. But the problem is, on the road, when you put yourself in a hole like that, it's really difficult to climb all the way out of that hole. All the momentum and the crowd on the side of LeBron James, who had a great game, and the rest of the Cavaliers. So now we've got an even series. Boom. It's a Twitter Tuesday morning after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.